based experience on love.
Bad.
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 Bad. Bad.
Bad.
And life based experience on love. Welcome to the Pum Pum Chronicles. I am your host, Badass Jones, offering personal advice and life based experience on love, sex, relationships, intimacy, with a little Jamaican flair. Welcome to the Pum Pum Chronicles.
Greetings, 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 and welcome, Pum Pum Posse. Bless up yourselves. This, of course, is the Pum Pum Chronicles podcast, and I am your host, AJ Badass Jones. I know I've been absent. I didn't put out a new episode last week. It's just been, you know, the times are crazy, and I'm trying to really pay attention to my mental health and well-being and taking breaks appropriately when I need them. And unfortunately, that sometimes requires me to not necessarily put out an episode. It's not to say that there isn't content. It's just that sometimes, you know, editing and doing all the other multitude of things that I'm doing, it just becomes daunting and overwhelming. And sometimes it's good to just kind of slow down and take a break. But of course, there are, what, 64 episodes. So for anybody who's new to the podcast, anyone who's just catching up on the podcast, there's lots of stuff for you guys to listen to. Plus, of course, there is the YouTube channel. There's videos as well. There are the Wet Wednesdays. And we've just started Samantha from the Real Girlfriend Experience, and we've just started Soak'em Saturdays. So there is stuff to, you know, kind of fill in the gaps. I do miss you guys, of course. But I hope that everyone is well. In case I didn't introduce myself, I am AJ Badass Jones, the host of the Pum Pum Chronicles. You can find me on my social media platforms, although Instagram is being a real cunt right now, and they're not letting me onto my personal page. But of course, you can follow me on my social media on Instagram and Twitter at the Pum Pum Chronicles Pod. So my personal page is still up. They're just not allowing me access to it. So please, you know, if you're there, just kind of, you know, pray for me, hold on tight, my soon come back. But if you haven't been following my personal page, that of course is badass_Jones_. The page is still there. I just can't access it. If you want to get in contact with me, you can do so in one of two ways. You can either email me at thepumpumchronicles@gmail.com, or you can hit the call-in line, leave me a message, send me a text. That number, of course, is 320-270-1086. And yeah, if all else fails, you can also send me a DM. I don't like, we're just not going to get into it because honestly, I'm not able right now. Anyhow, I hope that everyone has been well. We are still in the midst and the throes of a pandemic, but I hope that life has not been too crazy or too rigorous for y'all, and that everyone is staying safe and sane and loving up on yourselves and loving up on everyone around you in the best way that you can. So this week, I wanted to have a very transparent moment with you all, which may or may not make me emotional. It might likely make me emotional, but I'm allowing myself the experience and allowing myself to embrace whether, you know, that the emotional part comes, because this is something that I still struggle with. And it's interesting because I know people see me and they think like I'm always so happy and go lucky and jovial and all these kind of things, but I do have moments of insecurities, and I do have moments of self-doubt and questioning myself. I try not to linger in those spaces for too long. And I try to, you know, objectively talk to people who can help me sort of rationalize and reason my way out of those kinds of spaces, because it's unhealthy to linger too long. But I do have those moments. So there was a question that was put to me a while back, and I wasn't entirely sure how I wanted to answer the question, if I wanted it to be, you know, like a discussion with another person to have a guest on the platform and discuss it with them, or if it was something that I wanted to sort of tackle by myself. And I decided that it was necessary for me to tackle it by myself because I needed to have a moment of being vulnerable and a moment of being transparent with everyone, because you guys have been so amazing and so supportive. And, you know, you ask your questions for my feedback. And I think that it's important for me to also give you perspective into, you know, a little bit more perspective into who I am, the way that I think, the way that I feel. Even though I know I do a good job at sharing, this one is definitely definitely a very vulnerable moment or a vulnerable topic for me, and, you know, a little bit of a sore spot. I've definitely gotten better in dealing with it, but from time to time when I think about it. And even there's a clip that I'm going to play for you guys so that you can hear a conversation between myself and the person who triggers this particular feeling in me, this particular insecurity. So, you know, hopefully that'll give you some context. So I'm going to play the clip first, just so you can hear a bit of the conversation. Of course, the individual is going to remain anonymous for, you know, his privacy and for the privacy of our situationship. But I'm going to dip out for a minute. I'm going to play the clip and then I'm going to come back and give you the goods on AJ Badass Jones. This entire conversation. I've never been with someone who, let's say if 36 times we've been intimate, including like everything, licking, fucking, sucking, everything.
Okay.
Of the 36 times, you've come once. Okay. And it's been more than 36. I know that for sure. Like even just thinking the time period of when we were together and then when we stopped being together and we were still kind of seeing each other here and there.
Yeah. Well,
you've only ever come one time.
Because I feel like, because if I do, it's done. Like if a guy comes, it's like, you can't redo it again. So it's like, I tried to maintain that or hold on to that right before come part, but that usually makes me not come. So it's like, it's not, I don't know.
I just wish people could see your face when you just answered that. I wish they could see your face.
It's not the, I don't know how to explain it.
I would like for you to explain it because I've always asked you. I've asked you if it's a fear thing. You said, well, no, not exactly.
No, it's not a fear. It's just, if I come, I'm done. If I don't come, we can keep going.
But you're acting like you can never, like, rejuvenate.
Yeah, but then it's like, you know, there's downtime. There's like, in the moment.
Hi, sir.
Like,
there's a whole lot of downtime when you don't come.
But in the moment. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's trying to stay in and maintain that moment, that feeling, that high. It's true, you are attracted to me. But I told you that from the beginning. And not in a...
Drugs are a bad thing.
Not in an abusive way. No, it's just the way you alter or how you make me feel. And it's sometimes it's not always shown on the outside. It's something like, you know, I kind of ingest you, I smell you, I taste you, I use all my senses for you because you just...
That sounds like a heroin addict, except without actually ingesting yourself. Yeah, well, you're ingesting me, most certainly.
Yes.
A whole lot.
Yes, I must ingest. But it's, I don't know, it's, you're just that person. I just sometimes I feel like.
But why would you want to do that to yourself? Like, is the point? And I know I'm sabotaging myself by asking this question because I know that it's not. But out of 36 times, the point couldn't just be to come once.
No.
And the other 36, even though like you're saying, there's more, but we just like kind of cap it at 36. But
yeah,
all those experiences,
that's the intention. But it's like getting into the situation and feeling it and not wanting to stop that, in order to.
You realize when you don't come and then we have down moments like this, we have stopped.
Yeah, but that's usually after a certain amount of time.
But you could have come in that time.
True.
Oh my God, I'm going to stab you.
Don't stab me! She's trying to stab me. She's trying to stab me. If
anything happens to me, my gosh.
Remember, she tried to stab
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I've been on record several times saying I'm going to kill you. This is no different. October to 7,
she's trying to murder me.
Seriously.
No, I've never really looked into it like that, but I know... There's a part of it that I guess to you can be kind of concerning, but yeah, that's what I say. I'm not.
If we didn't have these kind of conversations, honestly, my ego would make me feel like my good pussy is not good pussy because you don't nut.
It's good pussy. Like, see, that's not the defining factor because sometimes it's trash pussy and you come like 2 seconds because it's like you're trying
this
to get
this is
up.
True. You said you're trying because you're trying to
I'm
get
I'm just trying
up.
To get this over with. Like, it's a lot of machoism where, you know what I mean, a woman offers you and you're like, say no, but if you say no, it's like, kind of girl am I? So you say yes, but you don't really want to, so you gotta get through it.
And put a good performance.
Put in a good performance. It's not like it's terrible, like you hate it, but it's just like, you maybe know maybe you shouldn't be messing with this person. Or
it's like a masturbation session, except you're not using your hand.
Precisely. But I don't ever feel that way with you. So it's like...
Well, thank you for that. I would hope not.
Just using your vagina as a receptacle. Because my hand is getting... I'm getting used to my hand. No.
You never, ever, ever come.
So, the question that was put to me initially, which is why part of the reason why I played that particular clip, the question that was put to me was, what has been my most inadequate personal sexual moment and how did I conquer it? Did I talk to the person who I and did I talk to the person who I had the experience with? So of course the clip lets you know the answer to the second part of the question. Yes, I had the conversation with said gentleman. But essentially the most inadequate personal sexual experience or sexual moment I had was with this gentleman. And we had a relationship for 6 to 9 months. And over the course of that time, you know, as you could hear in the clip, I think I calculated our sexual experiences at like 36 times, just, you know, kind of like a round number. It was definitely way more than that. But I could literally count on one hand the number of times that he ever orgasmed, that he ever came when we had our sexual experiences. And I remember one day saying to him, is it that you just don't like when we fuck? Like, you don't like the head? Like, you don't like the sex? Like, what is it? You know, and it started to make me feel some type of way. And it was one of those situations where, you know, every time we had sex, for me, like, I thought it was great sex. But I noticed, you know, after a while, like, when I would give him head, that he wouldn't get all the way hard. Or, you know, he seemed to focus more on pleasing my body, eating my pussy, eating my ass, sucking my toes, just kind of like, you know, doing all the things that I like and what have you. But when it came down to actual penetration, that there was struggles or difficulties around that, I had convinced myself that he wasn't sexually attracted to me and that his focus primarily was just pleasing me because, you know, I didn't really do it for him and he didn't want to waste. I talked myself into a frenzy in my head about my inadequacy. And you know, for the longest time while we were engaging, while we were interacting, I never had the conversation with him. It was always just, you know, me trying to like go the extra mile or give a little bit more to, you know, to please him, to get his body going and all these kind of things. And I remember on one occasion when I was giving him head, I was sucking his dick and he was kind of like semi-hard. And, you know, like I have this conversation with you guys all the time and saying that, you know, one technique doesn't work for every body, not everybody, every body. You know, you have to pay attention to the person's rhythm, ask questions. Don't be afraid to have the conversations, ask what the person likes, ask what they need more of, you know, encourage them to give you feedback. And, you know, so in sucking his dick and realizing that his dick wasn't getting hard, I'm thinking that, you know, the technique isn't good. So now I'm asking questions because now I'm starting to feel some type of way that, you know, he's only semi-hard. And he's like, no, like, you know, the dick sucking is great. He loves the sensation. He loves the feeling, you know, and he's there with me. Like, he's present in the moment. He's present in the experience. You know, he said the only thing is, you know, if I would slow down and suck slower or lick slower, because, you know, if that was more pleasurable to him and focus more on the head, which I did. And it didn't help. It still didn't change the fact that he wasn't getting all the way hard. So, of course, now I'm in my head while we're having this experience, thinking that I just, you know, and it's crazy how you could have 100 great experiences and then you have the one that stays in your head and fucks you up, right? It's like that old thing. It's like, you know, you do everything right. And the second you fuck up once, that's the only thing that people remember. So instead of thinking that, okay, instead of weighing it like, you know, this is a him issue, not a me issue. And in thinking about like all the other great experiences that I've had, no, I got stuck on this one experience of thinking that, you know, I wasn't doing something right for him, or he wasn't enjoying my body, he wasn't enjoying the sex. And so what ends up happening is, you know, halfway through me, you know, dick sucking and trying to get him to that place of being rock hard and, you know, the full enjoyment and what have you, you know, he switches it up. stops me from sucking his dick and proceeds to go down on me and completely focuses and shifts the focus of pleasure to my body. Now, under normal circumstances, you know, women wouldn't complain. Somebody wouldn't complain. Somebody shouldn't complain. If somebody decides that they want to make you the sole focus of the interaction that you're having, you know, oftentimes you'd say like, yeah, come hackle up my body, do everything that you know that I love. If you nut, you nut. If you don't, you don't. And it's interesting too, because you know, you have a group of men, I won't say all men, but there certainly are some men who are more interested in their own pleasure than anything else. And they don't give a shit whether or not the woman's had one orgasm, much less four or five orgasms. You know, they leave that responsibility to the woman to get there. You know, he'll help her, but the responsibility of her getting there is her responsibility. And this wasn't the case. Like, his focus solely and entirely was on making me happy, because that gave him pleasure and brought him happiness. And you would think, for all the years that I've been having sex and for all the experience that I've had in my old age, that this would have translated somehow in my mind so that I wouldn't feel inadequate. But let me tell you, it had me all the way fucked up. So much so that I started to limit our interactions, because I'm like, well, what's the point? If you're not going to come, and this is solely about you coming to make me come because that gives you pleasure, but you never finish, what's the point? And as you can hear in the conversation from the excerpt, you know, we sat down and we had, it's a much longer conversation that we had, but I didn't want to bore you guys to death with the full clip. But the conversation that we had was that really and truly, he enjoyed every single experience that we had. And I'm not going to lie to you, like, you know, like it was a very emotional conversation, because I wanted to know, like, why do you never finish? And you would think, for all the sexual experiences that I've had and, you know, the life experiences that I've had, that I would understand the climax is not always the pinnacle. Sometimes it's really just about the shared experience. And sometimes it's really just about pleasing that person, and that makes you happier than everything, anything and everything, right? If I liken it to when I am in a relationship, or when I'm, you know, whoever my partner is at the time, and I say to them, like, come see me, I just want to suck your dick. I don't want nothing from you. I don't want you to touch me. I don't want you to make me come. It'll make me happy for you to just come and let me suck your dick for whatever reason. And it definitely is ego. Let me stop saying that it's for whatever reason, because I know what the reason is. Absolutely my ego. Absolutely 100 and 1,000,000% my ego. I couldn't rationalize with myself that it was the same thing. And you know, the conversation that continued, he asked that, like, how is it different than you saying, you know, come see me, let me suck your dick, I just want to suck your dick, just want to feel you in my mouth. He's like, really and truly, it's no different. If I say to you, I want to come eat your pussy, but I don't want to fuck you because I don't want to come, what's the problem? I said, because, like, you know, making a man come, yes, here's where it gets stupid. Making a man come, especially somebody that you're in a relationship with, you want to have that climactic experience with the person. And it feels really anticlimactic when you guys are fucking and a person doesn't come. What ends up happening, instead of them finishing, he kind of goes semi-soft. And then it just kind of stops. And then we just lay there and we talk. And then I'm like, okay, can you get back up again? Because I would really like for us, like, I want to have a good session. I want to have a good romping session. Part of what I learned from this experience is that, by and large, it is not about me, which took me a really long time to embrace. And even as I'm sitting here having this conversation with you guys today, it is still something that I struggle with. I've had to completely stop having any sort of sexual interactions with him, mostly. I'm not gonna lie, you know, we tried it again maybe a month and a half, 2 months ago. About a month and a half ago, we tried again, and it was the same thing. And as great as the oral sex is, as great as the nipple play and the foreplay and the pain and pleasure mix, as great as all of that is, we never finish. He never finishes. And it stresses me out. So what I've learned is, it's not about me. And it took me, and it's still taking me time to entirely embrace that. It's not about my ego. Him not coming is not a dig on my ego. It's not a dig on how good or not good my pussy is. Because, I mean, you know, when you balance it out, you think he wouldn't come back that frequently or want to come back that frequently or ask to come back that frequently if the sex wasn't good, if the pussy wasn't good, and if it wasn't something that he enjoyed. Because who would punish themselves that way? Now, mind you, if you were masochistic entirely, then yes, you might punish yourself that way. But realistically, someone has to really enjoy the person's body and the sex in whatever way that translates in order for them to be able to, not even to be able to, in order for them to want to come back repeatedly to sexually engage with you. So that was something, that was and is something that I'm still struggling with and in processing. Because honestly, there's a part of me that feels like it's just absolute horseshit. And it's just, it's a bullshit argument that allows him continued access to me because I keep trying to cut off access from him. And that is his way of staying connected to me. So he'll message randomly and be like, you know, can I come put my face between your legs? And my question always is why? And he's like, what do you mean why? He's like, let's not have this conversation again. And I'm like, we're going to keep having this conversation because you come and you eat my pussy and then what? You know, there are times where I would like for there to be a climactic finish between the two of us and people. Pum pum pussy. Remember me tell you say, I can count on one hand over the course. It's been over a year now, but when we were actively seeing each other regularly, it was about somewhere between 6 to 9 months. So let's call it like 7.5 months. But we've been continuing to see each other. It's been over a year and a half now. Like I said, in that time frame, I can literally count on one hand the amount of times this man has ever come. So of course, his rationale and his reason behind it is he just never wants the experience to end, which I don't understand. Because when you don't come and we're just laying there talking and nothing happens, and at some point you got to put on your clothes and pack up your bag of tricks and galang about your business, you haven't finished. And then it begs the question, which further pushed my ego and further pushed that feeling of inadequacy. If you're not finishing with me, the fuck are you finishing with? Because I'm sure, and I don't swear on it, but I'm pretty sure you didn't just come to my house and spend almost 2 hours of us in intense foreplay, intense oral sex, and semi-erect fucking for you to just go home and jerk off. You could have done that shit here in front of me and been fine, right? So again, now I'm in my head wondering, okay, so you're not finishing with me. So are you taking the experience of my good pussy, the head that you say that you enjoy, all the feelings and the built up and pent up frustration, are you taking that and going somewhere with that to give somebody the dick that you should be giving me? Lord have mercy. When I started to think in that vein and when I got in my head about that, boy, the argument that ensued after, the hurt feelings that I carried after. I didn't want to see him. I didn't want to talk to him. I said some really mean and nasty things to him, you know, and I mean, I know he has his somebody, his main person. And I know from having, not I know, but from having conversation with him, what I understand is that the sex between them is, you know, it's routine. And I don't even mind that I'm the outside woman. You know what I mean? Like, that's neither here or there to me because that's a choice that I made. It's not something that he tricked me into. It's not something that he roped me into. You know, of course, when I realized that he was not leaving that situation, that's when I ended our regular daily interaction. And so now when I see him, it's like maybe once a month, once every month and a half, once every 2 months. But after every time I see him, and like I said, the last time that we spent time together, it was about a month and a half ago, I asked that question. Okay, so you didn't come. Like, are you going home to fuck her and finish with her? He's, you know, like, why would you say something like that? Because that's how this situation is making me feel. Like, you don't ever finish when we fuck, and it's making me feel inadequate. It's making me feel some type of way. You know, it makes me feel... And I know that it shouldn't, I really do. But I'm having difficulty processing it out of my head that it's not about me. And so we sit down and we have this conversation yet again. And I feel like, and this is my own fault because it's utter stupidity. It's like beating your head. You know, what they say? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. So it's like, you know what, Jones? This man is telling you he's not going to come when you guys fuck. So why do you keep fucking him if your expectation, your needs, and your desires is for him to hit that climactic end where the two of you can finish together? If you know that you're not going to get that, why do you keep trying? So this is where my ego jumps back into it. I keep trying because I want him to come. I want to feel vindicated. And so, of course, you know, like as women, and not just women that do it, but, you know, let's just kind of stay there for a minute. We start to ask the dumb questions like, so when you fuck her, do you come? When you fuck her, do you finish? Do you enjoy her body, or do you tell her the same bullshit that you tell me, that you just want to enjoy her and you don't come? And his response, so his response is, yes, he does come with her. I'm like, okay, so what is it? And, you know, so what is it? Right? And again, it's the same. And I'm looking at his face and the pained expression, and I'm looking for the lie in his face. And you know what I mean? And you never know whether or not somebody's mouth is just being sweet and telling you whatever it is that you want to hear. But again, it's the left part of my brain versus the right part of my brain saying, okay, he keeps coming, so it has to be good. But then the other side of my brain is like, but he never comes, so it can't be that good. Right? So now, you know, you're sitting there on the bed in a moment, coming out of a euphoric high. And all I can think about is the fact that this man doesn't desire me. That there's some sick, twisted, sadistic game that he's playing with me and with my feelings to keep me trapped there. And why the fuck can't I make the choice to not be there? And I realize it's because I have this point to prove. I have this point to prove to him that I can make him come. And I have a point to prove to myself that I could make him come. And I don't know as yet. I'm still working myself through it. I don't know as yet why that's such a desire. It's a very transparent moment. I definitely think that it's something that stems from a past relationship with a much older gentleman. And one of the things that he taught me was that if you can't make a man come, then your mouth and your pussy are useless. And so fast forward now to me being an adult and having had a multitude of sexual experiences, the number of different people over the years, and I cannot make this man come. I am used to sucking dick and making people nut in under 3 minutes. I am used to fucking somebody and quenching my pom-pom and putting the glue and the glamity and the good grip on them and making them nut quickly. Or you put a buckshot on them, you know, or your ride number, whatever it is. Like, I know sexually, and that's not all I'm about, clearly, but I know sexually, I know intimately when it comes down to it, I know how to fuck. I know how to have sex. I know how to make love. I know how to kiss. I know how to suck dick. Because I pay attention to the person that I'm engaging with to try to get everything out of them, not just literally, you know what I mean? But figuratively in terms of the experience itself, and to make sure and to ensure that the sexual experience is a great experience for both of us, because who wants to have mediocre sex, right? What's the point? But I can't seem to accomplish that with this man. And so instead of listening to him and hearing and embracing what it is that he says to me, what I keep hearing and remembering is a conversation from many, many years ago with the older gentleman that I was involved with, who said to me, if you cannot make a man come by sucking his dick or putting good pussy on him, then your mouth and your pussy are useless. And so to further exacerbate that, in having conversation with the current gentleman who I can't make come, when I hear from him that the person that he is involved with, that he comes when he's with her, yeah, it's difficult for me to explain the way that it makes me feel without getting too emotional. And I know that it really shouldn't matter, but it does, because I pride myself on being a whole sexual person. I pride myself on paying attention to a person's body, paying attention to the person's needs, having those conversations that may be uncomfortable. I pay attention to the person's desires. I pay attention to, you know, opening up those avenues of exploration. It's the shit that I give advice on. You know, I pride myself on being an erotic specialist. I pride myself on engaging in a particular type of way where it's a meaningful and memorable experience, and not necessarily in the way that you want to, you know, break the person or create a stalker, because as much as that does happen, that's never the true intention, because those situations are a headache in and of itself. But making sure or ensuring that the experience that you have with the person is a great experience, not just for that person, but for yourself as well. Because again, who wants to have mediocre sex? And so the most inadequate I've ever felt and continue to feel is with this person. So much so that I don't think I could ever engage in a long-term relationship with this individual. And that's something that's been put on the table. Without getting into the details of it, there was a period where said gentleman and the woman that he's involved with, they were no longer together. And because I couldn't get out of my head, you know, and focus on the non-sexual pleasurable aspects of our relationship, like we used to, like, you know, do silly, goofy, fun shit together. You know, we would sit outside in the summertime, you know, he would come and swing by for like an hour, and we would end up, you know, talking till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. Like, the conversations were great and they were meaningful and fun and silly, but I couldn't focus on any of those things because I was so stuck on the fact that he just didn't enjoy me sexually. So what was the point? And so now, you know, I have to do some real soul searching on why I place such a great emphasis on this one particular experience with this one particular person, as opposed to thinking about my sexual experiences on a whole and the pleasure that I've received and the pleasure that I've given in these interactions outside of this one particular experience. But to put pain to it, when I was asked the question, you know, because you guys submit questions to me in the DMs, and you know, people will email and that kind of thing, but when this question was asked to it, it put pain to the struggle, my personal struggle, and the feeling of inadequacy sexually. And I've been sitting on this question for I don't even want to say, because it's embarrassment, but you know, you guys are my family, so I'm gonna tell. I've been sitting on this question for at least 2 months now, and every time I've done a Wet Wednesday, this question keeps getting cycled down to the bottom of the questions, and I keep saying I'm gonna come back to it, but really and truly, of course, as you've guessed, what's made me not answer the question, not tackle the question, is just my own personal embarrassment. And it's interesting because I know that I am transparent on anything that is sexual in regards to my history, my repertoire, my engagements, my interactions. But because this one was such a sore spot for me, because it isn't something that I've reconciled as yet, because it isn't something that I've entirely dealt with as yet, I kept pushing it down to the bottom. And so I said to myself, you know what, Jones, you need to answer the question, because the person's waiting on an answer, right? The person is waiting on an answer. You know, and if it's somebody that follows and listens to the podcast on a regular basis and somebody that, you know, participates in the Wet Wednesdays on a regular basis, I know you've been waiting for an answer, and I do apologize. It's just, it took me a while to not be emotional when answering the question, when thinking about the question, and even in having the dialogue with him. So, of course, the first part of it was asking him what it was. What is it about our interactions that, I don't want to say doesn't satisfy him enough, because he says that he's satisfied, but what is it about our interactions that prevents him from reaching that climax? So one of the things that I learned is that because it stresses me so much, it stresses him and causes him to have performance anxiety. And I didn't realize that I was transferring my angst and my feelings of inadequacy to him by challenging him every time we engage, and by challenging. And I'm not going to lie, there were times where I was really rough with him, like, what the hell's wrong with you? Like, why don't you ever come? Is something wrong with you? Like batting him up, you know what I mean? And I know, of course, that that's not the best approach. And yes, I was being a jerk. And yes, I was being an asshole. And yes, I was being a bully. I will hug all of those things. And I know that it's because I was embarrassed. I will embrace that. I felt inadequate as a woman. I will absolutely hug that. And I didn't know how to get over that hurdle. And so, again, instead of listening to him and wholly and entirely embracing what he had said in that moment, you know, I just took it as a slight, especially when I found out that, you know, he's able to come sufficiently with other people. You know, that of course sent everything into a completely different direction and a complete downward spiral. But if I have to offer any words of advice and any words of wisdom, definitely have conversation with the person that you're sleeping with. If there are feelings of inadequacy that you have, if there are moments where you feel like you're lacking, if there are moments where it just makes you feel less than your best sexual self, you have to have a conversation with the person. But not just the conversation, you have to be willing to actively listen and comprehend what the person is saying to you. That's one of my challenges with this situation, that I'm still not emotionally in a place to actively and entirely embrace and comprehend what he said to me. But I will tell you from personal experience, from not being able to do that, that it's important. And even in the moment, if you're not able to embrace entirely what the person is communicating to you, that you're at least present for the conversation, that you show up entirely for the conversation, and ask questions. You know, sometimes there's not going to be something that you can do better, and they will tell you that everything that you're doing is great. And you have to take your ego out of it. And I know that I have preached that before. And I never want to be the person that doesn't practice what they preach. So I'm definitely going to continue to do my personal work in dealing with that feeling of inadequacy. Because I definitely don't want that to be something that trickles over into any other experience. I definitely don't want that to be a mainstay in my head to say, like, you know, well, I fucked John and I made John come 3 times. So what the fuck is the problem? You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to stay in that headspace of doing a comparison either. And I'm trying desperately to stay away from that. And unfortunately, that has caught me a couple of times, so much so that I've had to catch myself in conversation with him to say, well, I don't understand what the problem is, because the last person that I, you never want it to be that, and you never want it to go that route. That's just as bad as me asking him if he makes other women come, or the other woman that he's been with, if he comes when he's with her, and hearing him say yes. You never want to push the conversation outwardly to involve people who are not involved in the situation. You want to make sure that you stay focused on the parties involved, which are yourself and that other individual. But the biggest thing about it, really and truly, is taking your ego out of the situation and recognizing, for all the stuff that Badass Jones preaches about taking your ego out of it, I definitely, with this particular situation, continue to have difficulty with it. And I think part of it is, for me, that I really truly need to stop messing around with him. So that is one of the most transparent moments that I've had with you guys, where it's not about, like, you know, the hype about my sexual experiences and sexual exploits and, you know, the kinds of questions that I normally get. This one was a really difficult one for me. And it's a good thing that y'all can't see me, because I'm all teared up and I'm doing a really good job. If you can hear, my voice is really dull, because I'm trying not to get emotionally overwhelmed, because it is something that is important to me. Like, trying to, because I don't want to have this experience with anybody else, because and again, I know that my sexual identity is not the entirety of me, but I pride myself on being a whole being, and part of being a whole being is being a sexual goddess, which I pride myself on being. And again, I'm trying not to belabor the point, but if it was that we were practicing, if we were engaged in tantric sex and in just an exchange of energy, then this wouldn't be an issue for me. Because in tantric sex, the end goal is not necessarily the physical orgasm. It's a spiritual orgasm, and it's emotional and mental orgasm, and it's the exchange of energy. Were we engaged in tantric intimacy, I wouldn't have this issue. I promise you, on everything that I love, I wouldn't have this issue. But because it is actual physical sex, and I am not able to make him come, it's a problem. So I don't know if anybody else has experienced this. I'm sure that there are people who have, because I know that, you know, I am not an island unto myself. And I'm hoping that by my sharing this particular experience with you, and the difficulty and length of time in which it took me to get to a place of being able to answer this question, that it helps someone in some kind of way. For the person who submitted the question, I deeply apologize for taking so long to respond. I generally don't do that. I generally respond in a fairly timely manner. I think I do the Love Jones segments once every 3 weeks or every fourth episode. So I do apologize for not answering the question sooner, but I struggled with it. I really did. I struggled with it because in answering the question, it meant that I actually had to admit a failure. I had to admit an inadequacy. And not that I have an issue with failing, because failing, you know, is motivation to try harder. And even, you know, having an inadequate moment is still motivation for you to try harder. But it was admitting a failure to myself, that I'm not being honest and real with myself. And it was admitting my own inadequacy and not being able to get over this hurdle and not being able to objectively tackle the situation and my inability and my inadequacy and not being able to effectively comprehend what was spoken to me by said gentleman about the way that he feels, and hearing the entirety of it. And the craziest part is, like, you know, when I do see him, I feel all that energy of desire, that energy of wanting, that energy of needing, that energy of, you know, being 110% here and present. But, you know, for whatever reason, I was going to say it ends the way that it ends, but it doesn't actually end. Anyhow, Whew. I'm gonna have me a drink and bun a spliff. So, Pum Pum Posse, bless up yourself. Thank you all for allowing me a moment to be my emotional self, which I don't think has happened as yet. And to the person who submitted the question, thank you for asking a difficult question, which I don't know that you knew that it would be a difficult question, but thank you for asking the question because it forced me to have to face some things that I've been avoiding facing. So with that being said, Pum Pum Posse, bless up yourself. Thank you for tuning into another episode of the Pum Pum Chronicles. I, of course, am your host, AJ Badass Jones. You can find the podcast streaming on all platforms where podcasts can be heard, including but not limited to Apple iTunes, Amazon Podcast, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. And of course, if you want to submit anything to me in terms of content, questions, or anything thereof, you can do it in one of two ways. You can either email me at thepumpumchronicles@gmail.com, or you can hit the call-in line and drop me a message or send me a text. That number is 320-270-1086. And of course, you guys know where to follow me on my social media. In the meantime and in between time, stay blessed, stay safe, love up on yourself, love up on your loved ones, and I will talk to you guys next week.
One thing's for certain, I need you right here in my arms, baby, I'm yearning. But I think I got a bone to pick with you. Lately I've been wondering what's with you. I need you to hear me, baby. Wake up, love. These sheets won't comfort me. Please wake up, love. I might just come for me, but I just need you for me. Show me some attention. I want you to wake up, love. Hear me, baby. It's like a turban. I can wrap my head around this, but I need your brown skin. I'm like India when I'm not pissed with you. Know how to keep it saying it's you.
Pain is art, lil' mama. It just get retouched, hung up on the walls. You wanna sell it later, then cool. We taking it all, lil' mama, it's real. I'd save you from a burning building. I wear the burns as gold medals, turn you on to remember. Even though you scarred me, I took it, so I know the feeling. But f*** it, let's build this to the ceiling. I'm really f***ing with you. It's a whole lot more than a makeup at the breakup. So don't fight back, just write back, baby. I know I demand a lot, and you don't like that. So let's just leave the baggage. I'ma hop us on this flight back. Get right back, right?
I want you to wake up, love. These sheets won't comfort me. Please wake up, love.